But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The body analogy that we get from Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians this morning is by far the most common metaphor, the most common analogy that is used for the followers of Jesus by the New Testament writers. But I find that the body analogy is probably difficult for us for a number of reasons. First off being, it doesn't seem to be a very practical analogy. When we talk about analogies, if you were going to go to an organizational development seminar, nobody would talk about your organization as a body. They might talk about it as a team. And they would say, every member of this team, if it's a basketball team, we've got a couple of guards, we've got two forwards, and we've got a center. And everybody needs to know what their role is in distributing the ball on offense, and everybody needs to know how that role affects when they're on defense. And we're going to sit down and look at our organization, and we're going to figure out how we're going to win by making sure everybody's got the right role on the team. But this analogy that Paul gives today is not about winning. And as you find out, all sports analogies eventually break down because the whole point of sports is people change the way the game gets played. And somebody might say, we need three guards and two forwards. Or somebody might say, we only need a guard and no forwards. They might change it so that we're playing small ball or big ball. It doesn't work. And most of all, the body of Christ is not about winning. Well, you might say, well, there might be some other efficiency analogies he could have used. He could have used an analogy where we can see that this is organized in a way where there are lots of levels of reporting. And in fact, you might think that's the analogy that we have in the church because we seem to have ordered ourselves. In fact, we talk about orders of ministry. Except, though we often forget this, the orders of ministry, it's an upside-down triangle because the largest and most important order is the lay order of which we all are a part of, and it gets increasingly narrow. But we might think that if Paul really wanted to get us in line and figure out how we could be most efficient, he would have said, all right, so here we go. We're going to have this level of folks, and then we're going to have this level of folks that they report to, and then we're going to have another level of folks where they report to, and up and up and up. And we're going to allow there to be some two-way communication, but even today when he gets at the end of this passage where he breaks out of the body analogy, he never says that any of those gifts, apostles, teachers, gifts of tongues, they're all on the same level as a really broad and diverse body. Or he could have used something from nature, because we all love nature, but like the church was a beehive. I'm not sure who the queen is, and I'm not sure who the drones are. They're only around for like a day. And then the workers. It would be a giant mess. But even if he is not given us an analogy about winning, he's not given us an analogy about efficiency, he's not given us an analogy about the natural way that the church is organized, we've got an even bigger problem with this analogy often in the modern world, which is, why would Paul call us to think of ourselves as the one thing that most of us, or all of us, have some problem with? Which is our bodies. If you don't think that you've got a problem with your body, if you don't think our culture lives in a time where bodies are a problem, or people feel ashamed of their bodies, you're not paying attention. There is so much energy put into the fact that, like, there is something wrong with your body that you've got to fix. You are too fat, you're too thin, you've got too much hair in this spot, you got too little hair in this other spot, your nose is a weird shape, your eyes are too close together, your feet are too big, they're too small, you make weird smells. Your body is something that is to be dealt with and fixed. Why on earth would Paul, in his inspired state, tell us that we are like this thing that we all are often ashamed of? And if we're not ashamed of it, we often know that part of it is breaking down every moment. And we feel like we're not strong enough. Why would it do that to us? And also, Paul couldn't see this, and I'll just a shout out to this, is we start talking about body parts being removed and put back on. I will say this is not an ableist sermon, that everybody's got to have all the same parts to be of the same value. But this is the analogy that Paul uses over and over and over again. In virtually all of his letters, at some point, he talks about our organization as being a body. Oddly enough, the most common analogy in the church for the way we talk about ourselves is never present in the New Testament, and that is ourselves as a family. The analogy of a family is one that we do inductively by the fact that we call God Father, is basically, and then we happen to be children. But that analogy is not there. But this one of a body is everywhere. Well, to understand the body image, I mean, Paul wants to make three things absolutely clear. The first is, bodies have lots of different parts. And those parts don't function without other parts. You cut your hand off, your body might go around, but that hand's not doing anything else. It's worthless. An eye that is not inside of a body can't do anything. The body is made up of lots of parts, and they are useless without one another. They're not just inhibited. They are absolutely good for nothing if they're not in the body. So the great sin often of the church is that we do recognize that we've got different body parts, but we seem to think that we can function without the other parts of the body. We seem to think that our handiness is better than somebody's footiness. We seem to think that being able to see something is better than being able to hear something. And we actually think being able to say something is the best gift of all. But Paul wants one thing to be absolutely clear. There are going to be other parts of the body that you do not understand. But you will not be able to do anything if you separate yourself from that body. And that's a nice platitude. And so he's got to get to the second thing, which is the body parts need to be honored in different ways. Sometimes a body part needs to be honored, sometimes it needs to not be honored. Sometimes it needs to be dressed, sometimes it doesn't need to be dressed. And here's the thing. I think Paul, we might call it a modern problem that we hate our bodies, but I think this is where Paul is getting at the fact that that same shame that you have for that part of your body that you wish you could fix, it's not just that when we think our part of the body is the best one we want to leave, we have parts of the body that we just don't like, and we wish they would leave. And that same feeling that you have about going on a diet or working out at the gym or getting plastic surgery, I have those thoughts all the time about other body parts in this body of Christ. I think we call them positive subtractions could happen. And that happens on the micro level of a parish, but it also happens in the macro level. The Episcopal Church is not doing the same thing as the Church out of Rome. It is not doing the same thing as our Baptist brothers and sisters. It's not doing the same thing as our Charismatic brothers and sisters. They're different body parts. Now, they might be sinning in that they want to leave all the time, or they want to say they have no use for the other body, but we need to be able to honor in the appropriate ways the body parts that God has ordered and given to us when they're not trying to leave or not trying to exclude. And so there is a way that this analogy, that very feeling that you have about some part of your own physical self is extended to the way that we often feel about these other body parts in the body of Christ. Paul wants us to know body's got different parts. They cannot operate apart from one another. All the parts have something to do when they're working together, and we should honor that. And finally, he wants us to know, and this is something you know for sure from your own body, which is that when one part suffers, all the parts suffer. It's impossible to stub your toe without going into full shock. You think that toe is such a small part of your body. Or you've had some injury in your shoulder and you don't understand that, like, when you move your shoulder, why does your kneecap hurt now? It's just everything. When there is a part of the body that is atrophied, when there's a part of the body that is bruised, when there's a part of the body that is burned, there's a part of the body that is cut, it is not that part that suffers alone. One part of the body suffers, they all suffer. Which is the point of this analogy in the first place, which is, this is a collective gospel that we've been given. One to engage in with people that we don't agree with. One to engage in with people who have gifts that we don't think are important. One to engage in even when we know that we are right and they're wrong. It's not just because a hand that's been cut off a body is useless. It's not just because you're not honoring who you should honor and being nice to. It is because when one part of the body suffers, all of the parts of the body suffer. And we cannot take ourselves out of that. We cannot remove ourselves from it. I mean, there are lots of people that wear the name of Christ that I disagree with. I really do. In fact, I wish they didn't wear the name of Christ. And you know what? That is that suffering that's coming across, because it's probably because they're trying to pull away and say that, like, their hand is better than my foot. And I feel that in myself. And it's not just that they need to fix their problem so that I feel better in my part of the body. I need to realize that there are times when I'm doing something with my part that is hurting them too. And it's part of my calculus. It has to be part of the calculation that I do when I am trying to live as best as I can into this gospel message that Jesus of Nazareth gave us. Because being part of a body is not about winning. Being part of a body is not about being effective. Being part of a body is not about something that's natural. Being part of a body is not about being in some family. Being part of a body is about being together, doing different things, and thriving. Amen.